now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, my very special guest is Max Egan. Max's website is The Crow House, and his dedicated YouTube channel is also called The Crow House. And Max has talked about a number of key issues over the years, about the different methods of control that's being exerted upon society. So without any further ado, Max Egan, welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thanks for having me on, brother. Pleasure to come and talk to you.
Yeah, it's our pleasure, Max. There's so much going on in the world. What are the things you'd like to talk about that's topical, that are trending right now? Here we are. It's a new year. Well, what are the kind of trends you see going on, and what subjects are you kind of keeping your finger on the pulse of?
Well, the whole 5G thing is very important. The Internet of Things, where this is going, the smart grid, this, I believe, is the main concern we're facing at the moment. The smart grid really is the end game. The smart grid is the new world order. It's not what people think it is. You know, the new world order is not this, you know, police state that looks like Nazi Germany. I mean, that's a byproduct of it. But what it really is ultra surveillance and ultra control of every aspect of your lives and putting an economic value on every action that you perform. And that's what the Internet of Things and the smart grid is doing, the whole 5G system, that's what it's all doing. I mean, there's a lot of theater in the world at the moment to distract us from this. And I think a lot of the theater that we're seeing is simply to distract us from this. I think that's what a lot of this war posturing against North Korea is all about. I don't think there'll ever be a war with North Korea. I think this is all being done in order to introduce a new economic system, a new economic Silk Road with China at the head, blah, blah, blah. That's a whole show just about that topic. But I think the new economic restructuring that's happening and the smart grid that's going along with it are the two big concerns that we need to be addressing. They are things that we can deal with if people would pay attention to it. But again, there is so much going on the world stage, so much theatrics on the world stage, including theatrics on the ground at home with everything you can think of being done at the moment to pit sections of society against each other, to keep everybody distracted, keep everybody fighting, everyone looking in the other direction while this whole smart grid is rolling out. And I think that's the concern. That's what we need to be looking at.
There seems to be an urgency in rolling out this 5G network. You know, when one is out and about and you have these chance encounters with people that work in the telecoms, you run into people that work with state and local governments, there seems to be an emphasis of rolling it out. Could you give our listeners an idea of, in practice, what this 5G rollout may entail and just how all-encompassing it is?
Yeah, well, it's being delivered to people under the guise of faster communication, you know, more reliable communication. I think this is a lot of reason why they've made the internet so unreliable in so many places as well. So people will want 5G. They're going to want these lightning fast downloads and everything that comes with it. But basically, it's what it's being done. It's a millimeter wave. It's next level communication from what we've been experiencing. I mean, we're surrounded by a lot of Wi-Fi signals anyway. We're getting a lot of damage from Wi-Fi signals. But this 5G system goes up to a whole new level of Wi-Fi signals with millimeter waves, which are very, very short waves, which means you need massive amounts of towers everywhere, relay stations everywhere. And millimeter waves, these are what we use in active denial systems. These are what are used in airport scanners. So as soon as 5G comes online, this whole system comes online, essentially it's going to be like everybody's living inside an airport scanner all the time. That's the radiation that we're going to be all subject to. But it provides the speed which is needed to power the Internet of Things. And the Internet of Things is basically all about the cashless control grid, the cashless society, whereby everything will have an IP address. Everything will be on the internet. Everything from pill bottles to plant water is what the head of the FCC, Tom Wheeler, is saying. That's the way he puts it. You know, so everything, a packet of cigarettes, anything you want to buy from a shop will have an IP address. It'll have a microchip in it, and it will have an IP address. So you'll be able to walk into the store, pick up whatever you want, put it in a bag, and just walk out of the store. You won't need to see anybody at a checkout. It will detect you as you walk in. It will know your biometric signature as you walk in. It will, because it's got your biometric signature linked up to your bank account, your Bitcoin, whatever, it can deduct, you know, it'll detect what you pick up from the store. It'll detect what you're carrying as you walk out, and it will deduct that from your account. So you don't have to ever see anybody or talk to anybody or anything like that. It all gets done automatically. And the speed that you need to do this is something like 5G. I mean, you imagine the millions, billions of transactions that are going on every second all around the world when this system comes online. You need a lot of speed. Otherwise, you're going to be caught in a bottleneck like what's happened with Bitcoin at the moment. You know, Bitcoin can process 7 transactions a second or something. And with all these millions of people, billions of people using it, it simply can't keep up with the amount of transactions that people want to process. So you need something very, very fast. And that's what it's being sold to the people as. It will be able to power this, and it's all going to be so convenient for you and blah, blah, blah. You know, the smart grids, the smart meters that they're putting on your homes, pay per use for everything that you do. So they keep saying, oh, it's cheaper. You're not going to be using this all the time, paying for it all the time. You only pay per use. But what they're doing is making you pay per action of everything you perform. It'll get to the point where you turn on a tap and there's a few credits. You empty your toothpaste out of your tube, there's a few credits. You turn on the TV, there's a few credits. Everything you do will be pay as you go. And so it's not going to be cheaper. It's going to be more expensive. And what it does is it puts an economic value on every action that people perform. And it sort of basically leads people into this whole transhumanist agenda, leads people into this automated agenda. It removes people's life skills from them, and it tracks every single action that everybody performs. Yeah, so it knows everything about everybody and can track everything about everybody. And, you know, it's getting to the point where the AI, it could virtually replace anybody it wants because it knows so much about everybody that it could virtually pretend it was you and no one would even know that you'd disappeared if it wanted to. It's getting to that point. You know, the AI is learning about everybody and everything. And we're basically building this completely autonomic system and we're handing control of our lives over to this system. And it's a very dangerous thing to be doing, you know. And some of the things that's coming along with this AI system and the autonomic system that's coming online, they want it to be fully autonomic. And think about 5G as well. I mean, 5G, because it's a microwave system, it's an active denial system. This gives the ability for any country to be able to actually microwave a city. And if they wanted to, they could use this as an active denial system, the same as any microwave cannon. They could turn it up and they could microwave a city. So you can't have that. You can't have that type of threat hanging over something like New York. You can't have someone, you know, New York, you know, America goes to war with China and suddenly China microwaves New York. So you need to put a defense around this. You need to put a fully autonomic, fully AI-controlled automatic response to hacking or anything like that so that nobody can get into the system. So you need to give lethal autonomy to the system. The system needs to be able to control everything itself. So basically you're putting, you know, a situation in place where the machine itself has the ability to microwave the people if anything were to go wrong. If we were ever to find ourselves in a situation where we were controlled by AI and we wished to regain control of the internet or regain control of the system and the system decided to see us as a threat, it could conceivably eliminate anyone it wanted to that it saw as a threat. So, you know, we're creating a very, very dangerous situation where we're allowing a machine to run every aspect of our lives and we're giving full lethal autonomic power to this machine as well. This is not a very smart thing to be doing. And, you know, the fact that people are allowing this to happen is pretty scary. But again, they're allowing it to happen because they just don't know any better. The kids are just being led into this. And, you know, we've had our life skills sort of taken from us so much over the last few years that people are kind of surrendering to it. They're surrendering to the smart grid. They're seeing it as convenience, you know, their mobile phones, all little apps that do everything for them now so they don't have to think about things themselves. And this is a whole nother scenario as well, how we're having our cognitive function removed from us. It's being lowered dramatically because we're simply not thinking about things anymore. You know, people don't even think when they go shopping. They don't think when they go for a drive. They don't think I've got to turn left here or turn right. They don't even think about where they have to go. They just let their GPS tell them where they have to go. And, you know, and so they stop using their own brains. They stop, you know, thinking for themselves. You know, and it's like any organ. If you don't use it, it becomes atrophied. If you don't use your legs, they become atrophied. If you don't use your muscles, they become atrophied. It's the same with your brain. If you don't use it, it becomes atrophied. And, you know, we're being dumbed down in as much as not only are we being taught misinformation and taught information which is pretty superficial, but we're being removed of any chance that we have to actually think for ourselves. No, no, we can do that for you. We can take care of that. We make it all automatic. You don't have to think about anything. So people just sit there in this numb, brain-dead state, losing their cognitive function with every little app that they get that helps them out. You know, that's the way we're going. And not only that, I mean, the whole dopamine thing. You know, you got these smartphones and you click on your little app, you click on your little icons and this little thing happens on the screen. You get pleasure from that. It releases dopamine in your brain. So you get this addiction to these little assistants and these little automatic pleasures. You start measuring every moment by the amount of pleasure you receive from it while you're allowing this machine to run every aspect of your life and think for you even. You know, and this is where we're being led in this smart grid, in this smart system. And you know, you think about that sort of a scenario. What happens when you've got kids that are growing up into this system that are completely dependent upon this system? And, you know, they're living constantly under the threat that if they think outside the box, if they don't comply with the wishes of the social justice warriors, if they think any way for themselves at all, or they dissent in any way at all, they face the threat of being locked out of the system. If they get locked out of the system, they can't think for themselves. They can't do anything for themselves. Imagine what their life would be like with that threat hanging over them. You know, people freak out if they get locked out of Facebook for a week. You know, if you're completely dependent upon this digital system and you're living under the threat of you must do what you're told or must think the way we want you to think or you may get locked out, this completely controls human beings on a whole new level that they don't even see. It isn't just a matter of being tracked and the matter of being surveilled in everything you do. It's the matter of having your mind molded and being trained to think in a certain way and not daring to think outside of the box unless you lose your social status or lose your access to the internet. And that's where we're heading. It's a pretty freaky scenario.
Well, it's a form of cybernetic banishment. You know, some malefactor in a village is cast out and everyone's supposed to shun him or her. And in the scenario you outline, which is quite plausible the way things are trending, if someone is a nonconformist and they find themselves locked out of the system, well, for some people, that's as good as death, because we've heard stories of people that go into instant withdrawals when they, you know, leave their mobile phones at home, when they get locked out of Facebook. You know, it occurred to me also, Max, when you were talking about this Internet of Things, the psychiatric tyranny has been crowing about, well, the way the Internet is, the way this Internet of Things are set up, we can monitor your medicine usage, and so we'll know when you need to take your next dose, and we'll know when to send you your next refill. It seems to me that when this psychiatric tyranny is piggybacked onto this Internet of Things, that's going to be another layer of this tyranny, where they're just going to monitor people's psych drug usage, for example.
Well, exactly. And if they don't like the way you're thinking and they monitor you and they say you've got to take these particular forms of medication, they'll know whether you're taking it or not. And if you don't, then they'll penalize you. And even going beyond that sort of stuff now, like I know a lady who's working for a company in England. It's a company called Navaris, which is partnered with Google. Navaris is a medical research company, which is partnered with Google. So think about that relationship. But she's working for a subsidiary company of that. I think it's called Acton or something like that. And what they're working on are smart contact lenses that will deliver a timed dose of insulin to their patients. So, okay, it's insulin and all that sort of stuff. But what else can they put in there? Smart contact lenses. Smart contact lenses that contain a form of medication, which can be accessed and turned on by remote control via the smart grid or whatever. So what are they capable of with this? Where are they going with this? What other types of medication can they put in there? What can they do to people through their contact lenses? You know, so this is where we're going. This is pretty freaky stuff. And like you say, you know, if you're a dissenter and they give you this medication, well, they could do something as simple as put it in contact lenses. If you're someone who wears contacts, well, then you don't even have to think about it. And they can deliver it for you, and they will know when it is being delivered. And if you don't take it, well, as I said, you get penalized. You get locked out of the system. And the system is everything. You know, like we get removed of all of our life skills, and it gets replaced by this virtual world, this virtual reality that we live in now. The way we've had our parents replaced by television, the way we've had our libraries replaced by everything digital. Everything is digital now. It's all going that way. And just this morning, for example, I mean, I was locked out of Google and YouTube and Facebook this morning. For the last 24 hours, I've been locked out of Google, YouTube, and Facebook. Something, I don't know why. I don't know how you can even do that. And it isn't like I go there and I get a message that you're locked out. The sites just won't load. And if I tried pinging the websites, it said site not found, you know, no signal. So it just was not, the sites were constructed that they would not talk to my computer. They would not talk to any computer on this network at this house where I live. We actually had to set up an entirely new account in order to access Google, YouTube, and Facebook. Every other website I could open, not a problem. But that's how they can do it. They can simply stop the main server talking to your computer, talking to your network, talking to your IP address, so that your computer simply cannot find these websites. And there's nothing you can do about it except set up a new account, set up a new IP. So it's interesting that they can do that sort of thing as well. You know, but the threat that people are facing by allowing themselves to become fully immersed in this system, they don't realize that the dependency that they're putting on it. Now, like I don't use a mobile phone for anything. I don't use a smartphone. I've never accessed the internet on a smartphone. I just won't have anything to do with that sort of stuff. And it's becoming harder and harder and harder to do anything. You know, when I travel around the world, because I won't use a smartphone, I've got a laptop, and they don't like it. They don't like it. You're doing that. They don't like you using cash. They want you to use credit cards. They want you to have all these conveniences, and they push you into it. And you become dependent upon it for every aspect of your life, and then they've got you. All they have to do is shut you out of little sections, shut you out of little bits, and suddenly you can't do normal everyday activities that you should be able to do. You know, and the reason you can't is because these skills have been taken away from you in the real world, and you've got this little portal into this virtual world, and that's how you do everything now. You know, and it's a replacement of reality. We're having our reality replaced by virtual reality, basically, and people are failing to stay connected to both worlds. And if they're failing to maintain their life skills while they're in this virtual world, you know, there's this overlap where we're just leaving all this other stuff behind, and we're immersing ourselves into this virtual reality. And we're getting into a point where, you know, if the power ever goes out or people are ever shut out of the internet, well, that's it. Their lives are over. And they end up in disability pensions. They end up in a state of and I think that's where we're being heading. We're being led as well to a state where most of the world will be on disability pensions simply because they can't function in the real world. That's why they've created so many new disabilities. Every emotion you express is a disability. Every life skill that you lose is a disability. You know, we've got kids coming out of high school now that don't know how to use a tape measure. They don't know how to do anything that the computer doesn't tell them how to do. It's pretty freaky stuff. And the World Health Organization is even saying that by the year 2020, most disabilities will be caused by stress. Stress will be the main cause of disabilities by 2020. I think we're already heading that way now. And the system is designed to do this. It's designed to cause people stress. Even when you go to a website and you get, you know, you've got a problem and you go somewhere, you ring up a company and you get a bot which gives you multiple choices. You know, you throw four options and none of them are what you want. You end up stressed. You end up in this messed up situation. You can never really get the help you need. It's all designed. It's all designed to be this way. All designed to, you know, of course, if you show any emotion in that sort of a situation, you get classed as having some sort of a disorder. They put you on medication and bang, they got you. That's how they get you into the system. So, you know, we'll get to a point where most of the people are on medication. Most of the people are being given some sort of a pension from the system. And most people are classed as having some form of disability, you know, either enhanced or disabled, you know. And a lot of the reason why they're bringing out like things like 34 genders, as I was mentioning before, is because when the transhumanism comes online, this is, you know, they want people to be able to identify as something, and they're not really going to be male or female if they get enhanced enough, so they need to be something in between. So it makes it acceptable. It makes it acceptable for machines to become citizens, like we've seen with the robot Sophia and all this sort of stuff. So you can see where it's all being led. You can't have this transhumanist reality if you've got gender specifics, because it won't work in a transhumanist reality. You have to have a very, very cloudy grey area, and it has to be acceptable to not to be part of one of these two genders, to be something else and still seem to be human. You know, otherwise it won't work. So it's all very, very subtle mind control, but it's all leading in the same direction.
At the outset, you mentioned, along with the 5G and the AI transhumanist rollout, there was an economic aspect to it as well. One of the things that people are worried about today is the possibility, and we've heard this so many times, but we saw it happen back in 2008, a financial crash or some huge adjustment, let's say, which causes manifold changes in society. And we're already seeing this move on the part of many people towards cryptocurrencies. In a way, that in itself is plugging into another aspect of this transhumanist AI agenda, because we're going away from hard currency. Granted, it's a fiat currency. Granted, it's monetized debt, but it was something tangible. You could hold it. You can go to the store. You can pay for things with it. And increasingly, like you said, the way it's trending, everything is going to be debited. Everything is going, and fees also. People have to look at it from the inverse standpoint. You can drive from A to B, incur all these fees from all these different motor transgressions you did on the road. Never mind all the toll roads that the Siri navigation system inadvertently routed you through. And suddenly you start getting all these bills in the mail, which is already happening.
Well, yeah, you know, the cryptocurrencies, you know, it's an interesting thing, because in the current fiat system, something like cryptocurrencies could actually lead us away from that system, and they could be really good. But at the moment, what they're doing, because so many people are going towards them, they're kind of undermining the economies of their own countries. And this is, you know, you see the US dollar losing value at the moment quite badly. Everything's changing, and the cryptocurrencies are having a really big effect on all of this. And the thing is, I mean, as much as there's good parts about the cryptocurrencies, as much as it's good to move away from centralized control of currency and all that sort of stuff, in the smart grid, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what sort of currency you're using. Doesn't matter whether it's fiat. Doesn't matter if it's controlled by bankers or whatever. All that matters with the smart grid is that the currency is digital, and that it's attached to you, and that you pay for every aspect that you perform, every action you perform. So cryptocurrencies will work fine in that reality. And it doesn't really matter. That's the problem, you know. Like, it could be a good thing. Like I said, in the current environment where we're not completely dependent upon this autonomic smart system, cryptocurrencies would be a good way of freeing ourselves from the central control of banks. But where we've got this smart grid coming online, cryptocurrencies won't make a difference to that. And the problem is that the smart grid is what's being rolled out underneath everything else. See, while people are even worried about financial crashes and worried about this and worried about all these different aspects of how we're going to deal with things, all this stuff that you're hearing about, you know, the cabal, the hidden cabal, the deep state, all the theater that we're hearing at the moment, all the moves that Trump's doing, people are saying Trump's playing 4D chess and all this sort of stuff. Nothing, none of it is addressing this smart grid. None of it. You know, this smart grid is the new world order. This is the end game. This is the control grid. And it's being rolled out, due to come online, fully online by 2020 and fully autonomic by 2025. And when that happens, it's basically game over for us, you know, in as much as addressing this system, because we're not looking at this economic reality. We're not looking at the fact that the economic value that's put on every action is the problem. You know, the fact that that is what removes you of freedom. You've got to work to get credits all the time to perform the most basic of actions, because everything is going to cost you credits. And if you won't be part of that, then you'll simply be locked out of the system. Now, within that system, there'll only be two types of people. There'll be desirables and there'll be undesirables. Either you're a desirable because you comply with all this digital stuff, or you're an undesirable, in which case you're switched off. And if you're switched off, if all the supermarkets are cashless, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You know, go out and scrounge food from dumpsters or whatever. I mean, once it all becomes digital, once we've got smart cars, once we've got smart locks, once everything is digital and everything runs off biometrics, either you comply or you go live in a cave. That's the choice that you have. So you're not given an option. You know, and if you want to comply, if you want to be part of the system, you have to collect credits. You have to have digital credits because you're going to have to pay for every single action you perform. You know, and if you're someone out there who does, you know, maybe you work market stalls, or maybe you harvest honey from your beehives and sell to people. Maybe you do vegetables or whatever. You're not going to be able to give anything away. You're not going to be able to do any transaction that isn't on the books. Every single action you perform will be on the books. You won't even be able to go and sell secondhand stuff at a market stall because all the payments will have to be digital. Government will get a tax on every single transaction. You know, it just controls every single action that you do. You know, they want people to be, you know, completely controlled. They want to know what you're buying, where you're going, who you're talking to, what you're doing, because they're scared. They want to know who knows about them. You know, the system wants to know everything about everybody because that's the only way it can predict what's going to happen. You will end up situations like with pre-crime, like in Minority Report, you know, where they're predicting who's going to dissent, who's going to do this, and there'll be no thinking outside the box allowed. And the threat of what happens if you do think outside of the box is all you need to control people. You know, just the threat of being locked out of the system. If the system controls every aspect of your life, just that threat hanging over your mind, that's all you need to control people. So it's a freaky thing, man. It's a really freaky thing. And a lot of people just don't see it. You know, the economic aspect of life is something that they just take for granted. A lot of people never ask themselves why they have to pay to be alive. Why they have to pay to perform the most, you know, common of tasks. You know, why you have to pay to have a roof over your head. You were born here. I mean, what are you supposed to do? Why do you have to spend your life struggling just to be here? You know, the whole thing's done by design. It's all contrived. You know, money. Money is the root of all evil. Money is really what controls us. Money is the glue, the catalyst that holds it all together. And the fact that we had stuff we could actually pass around, well, this was a little bit of, you know, security for us, at least in that world. If we're going to have money, at least make it something solid we can pass around. But when it becomes digital, they can just switch it off. It's just this virtual world. I can't understand how people can't see it, how people can view digital currency as being the same as silver or gold or something that you hold in your hand, something of value. And the danger they have of having this simply switched off. I mean, what happens when the power goes out and people try to go shopping, even now, and try to use the service station and get some gas in their car, and they can't because it's all digital. Their whole reality shuts down even if the power goes out. So what's it going to be? What's it going to be like when it's all that? Everything is digital and you get deliberately shut out. And if you don't comply or walk between the lines, they never let you back in. Yeah, that's the ultimate control system. It really is.
The way it's been cleverly set up, where the younger generations, Generation X, Generation Y, whatever they want to call them, the millennials, this is all they've known. And it's geared up to make them think that it's all based on convenience. I could just wave my hand over a reader and I'll be able to gain access to the office. I'll be able to unlock my car. Everything is made to look like it's really trendy from like a cyborg point of view. So the young people are going to be the ones that are going to really be hemmed in into the system.
Well, yeah, the problem is that the kids, like, and it's moving so fast now, the problem is the kids coming up out of high school now, the kids that are starting school now, in another 10, 15 years when they come out of high school, they're not going to have any reference point for what freedom looked like. They're not going to have any reference point for what humanity once looked like. You know, and the parents are so caught up in the rigors of everyday life that they're just ignoring their children to a large degree. You know, they don't think they are. They don't know they are. They're just doing what they're trained to do. They're buying their kids all the latest toys and giving them all the latest fashions and thinking they're looking after them that way. But they're not. They're just putting them there in front of the television or in front of the education system. And the education system is molding them to think in a certain way. And they're all being locked out of their lives, basically. They're all being locked out of reality. They're being locked away out of their life skills. You know, schools don't teach people life skills anymore. And they teach people to be very, very superficial. They teach people to respect authority. It's an indoctrination system. It's not an education system at all. And like I said, the attention that they've lost, you know, because they don't get the love from their parents that they should have. Their parents just put them in front of a TV because they don't know any better. And so the kids have this craving for something. They don't know what it is, but it's attention. It's love. They never had that love, that close relationship that they deserve that they need, that is a nurturing relationship. So they're out there looking for that. That's why they say all these Generation X people, all the Instagram, Snapchat people, they're all attention seekers. And they are, because they never got that attention from their parents. And that attention is a natural thing that they should have had. You know, but because they didn't have that, they spend their lives searching for attention. That's what most people's activity is online, is searching for attention, trying to get likes, trying to get noticed, because they just want to be noticed. They just want to be heard. They just want someone to listen to them, because no one ever did. You know, so it's very clever the way it's been done. It's very insidious the way it's been done, but it's very deliberate as well. You can't say it isn't deliberate, because it is. When you look at the natural progression of where we've gone, It's very deliberate how we've been brought to this point. And the kids now, like, they're so lost in this instant gratification. You know, like I said before, every time you click an icon on your phone, it releases dopamine into your brain, and this becomes an addiction. And you start measuring each moment by the amount of pleasure you receive from that moment. And it's quick, click, 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 you know. Over the last couple of generations, they've managed to reduce the human attention span down to about 7 seconds. That's 1 second less than the attention span of a goldfish, which used to be the creature on Earth with the shortest attention span was a goldfish. And now human beings have an attention span which is less than that of a goldfish.
Wow.
You know, this is freaky stuff, you know, and it's because of the dopamine. You know, you take away everybody's natural connection to life, their natural attention they get from their parents, that natural bonding, and you replace it with dopamine, instant pleasure, you know, and you measure each moment by the pleasure you get from that moment. So, of course, even if someone comes along and starts telling you, hey, look, the New World Order's coming along and the government's doing all these bad things, you don't want to hear that. You're not getting pleasure from that. That's not what you're used to. Your brain is not wired to accept that information, because you actually have to think about it, and it makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable. Far easier to just go and click an icon on Facebook and get some likes on Instagram makes you feel good. You know, so that's what it's all about. And that's the way we've been led. And people crave this because it replaces this attention, this love, this bond that they have with the people around them, this need to belong to something, you know, and to be accepted for what they are. They don't have any of that. They're locked in this little thing where it's about the way they look. They've got to have this right look and this right thing and be hanging out with the right click, and they've got to say the right things and not think outside the box, or anyone might look at them a wrong way and they might get a like for that one. You don't get a like for thinking that way. You may not be included at the next party or the next group session where we all sit around and click likes on our Instagram pics together, you know. So it just molds people. It trains people to think in this box and never think outside the box and always be a good little drone, or you may not be accepted by your peers. And that is the most important thing in your life, is to be accepted by your peers, because that's the only place you feel you belong. Because you don't belong with a family. You don't belong anywhere. I mean, most people come into this world and by the time they're 5 or 10, they're wondering what the hell they're doing here, what it's all about, what their parents are all about. What is this place? Where do I fit in? Am I a misfit? Almost everybody's thinking like that these days, these young children. None of them feel like they fit in. You know, I get letters from kids even that are 19, 20 years old saying that they're confused about their sexuality. They just don't know what they are. They just don't feel anything. They don't know what they're supposed to do. They don't even know how to communicate with people of the opposite sex, because, I mean, you can't even go and talk to a girl. A guy can't go and talk to a girl anymore because she may put him up on sexual harassment charges. So how on earth are you even supposed to communicate with people? It's ridiculous, you know. It's got to that stage. So the kids are so confused and our society is so confused, and it's because they've been led away from their humanity. And like I said earlier, they've been given this replacement, all these little access points to this virtual world that they can use to, you know, find whatever emotion that they're missing in themselves and replace it with this icon or this game or this, you know, chat applet or this Snapchat or whatever. Replace it with these things and look for pleasure there, and look for gratification there, and look for that missing part of yourself there in the virtual world. Find some little add-on that you can put on yourself virtually, a little patch to make up for that problem. You know, and that problem really is a loss of self, a loss of any understanding of what it means to be human. That's what is happening to the human race, and it's being done by design. You know, and if we don't identify this and start talking about this and start, you know, taking steps to lead us back towards our humanity, We're heading for a very, very dangerous place. And the future that these kids are going to have, the kids, you know, 10 or 15 years when they come out of school, like I said, they're going to have no reference point for what it even means to be human. And that's why it's so important for people like us to put this message out there and get this, at least, you know, crack the shell and get these kids to think a little bit outside the box. Because many of them know that there's something's terribly wrong. They just don't know what it is. You know, because when you take something from someone, if they're not aware that it's been taken from them, then how can they miss it? You know, it's like in the book 1984, when you know, Winston Smith knew he wanted to dissent, he knew he wanted to rebel, he knew he wanted to fight against the government, but the word dissent didn't exist, the word rebel didn't exist, these words didn't exist in the language. So he knew he had this thought, he knew something was terribly wrong, but there was no way to communicate that information to anybody. You know, he didn't know that because he didn't know those words were missing. It's the same when you don't know this attention's been missing from you. You don't know your life skills have been taken from you. You don't know about your higher self. It's been stolen from you. How can you miss it if you never knew it was there? You know, if you were born into a Lamborghini and it was stolen before you woke up and it was replaced with a Volkswagen, how are you ever going to know that you had a Lamborghini? You know, if you can only see in black and white and you can only ever see in black and white, how are you ever going to know that the world is in color? You're never going to know what you're missing. You're never going to know what it is. You're just going to know something's wrong, but you're not going to know what it is. And that's the problem that we're facing with the kids.
You pointed out how the instant gratification, dopamine high kicks in just by doing simple things like putting up photos of themselves on Instagram, what have you. And I can't help but think of like the Brave New World, but instead of like taking Soma or some kind of psych drug that's dispensed out to the masses to keep them docile and pacified, they just give them these digital devices. And it's ironic because they have the means to acquire a lot of information from these very same digital devices, but it's been turned inward and they're used as kind of like invisible shackles. And another thing that's interesting too that you touched upon is how everyone thinks and talks in slogans and in sound bites today. And you see this with people either fresh out of the universities especially, or that are still in the universities, where you can go down the laundry list of their indoctrination. Cultural Marxism, check. Multicultural diversity, check. Gender studies, check. I mean, everything that we've been talking about, they've been imbued with. And then when you ask them, okay, well, why do you believe in that? Why do you think it's right? All they can do is respond with an emotionally charged slogan. It's they don't even really have, Max, a cogent explanation. They're not taught to debate or they're not taught logic. Everything nowadays is broken down to sound bites and slogans, which will make it impossible for these people to break out of the shell and then beyond that, lead others out of this prison.
Well, yeah, well, they don't even know how to lead themselves, you know. It's a shame, and they don't know why they think the things that they think. It's just because everyone else thinks it. This is what we think now. This is the politically correct way to do things. You know, it's programming. The whole thing is a result of programming. And, yeah, it's hard to break that shell with people. It is. But, you know, if you can really see what it is that's led them there is the difficult part. Like I said, it's difficult for them to understand because they don't know what's been taken from them is the point. You know, so what we need to do, I believe, is try to create some sort of an environment to nurture these people, to nurture them back into their humanity. It's getting them out of the digital world that's the hard part because it's an addiction. You know, it's an addiction. You know, when you get people and they're measuring themselves by their likes on Instagram and they're measuring themselves by all this stuff, it's like you say, they were given Soma in Brave New World, but now they're given dopamine. But it's competitive the way it is. It becomes a desperation for them. You know, like if they put a picture up on Facebook or Instagram and they don't get likes, they get depressed about it. Yes. It becomes all about the likes.
They'll even put out a status update. Why doesn't anyone like my picture?
Yeah, because they've got to get those likes. And if they don't, they feel like they're a lesser person. They'll go out to a meeting where they see their friends from school or whatever. And that'll be what they'll be discussing. How many likes did you get on your picture? Oh, you only got 5 likes. And they won't talk to that person very much because obviously that person isn't very popular in the virtual world, so why would we want to talk to them here? You know, it's not about the value of the person themselves and what they actually have to say. You know, it's their sound bites and their slogans, because, you know, even with the texting and all the stuff that we do on Facebook and Instagram and all this stuff, the texting, everything, everyone's reading everything. No one's really hearing anybody talk very much, and no one's having the body language and the real eye-to-eye communication with people anymore. So they're only getting part of the message. You know, about 5 to 10% of a message is the words, is the language. The rest of it is body. The rest of it is non-verbal communication. We don't get any of that. And we take everybody instantly, you know, at face value for what they say. I mean, I could say something to you in text and you'll take it so to heart. And it may have been a joke, may have been a quip, may have been just a little sarcastic comment. But, you know, you didn't get the body language. You didn't get the tone of voice. You didn't get the glint in the eye. You didn't get any of that stuff. And so you take it for heart. You suddenly think, I hate you. And suddenly we're fighting about something. You know, it's ridiculous. And this is how it's all been done. So people are very, you know, they're walking on tender hooks. They're walking on eggshells all the time. Something they're talking about in the Philippines is the families there are noticing the problems that they're having with children now, because the children have got these smartphones and they're texting to each other on Facebook and Instagram and stuff. And so you're getting families where the kids in two different families are having problems and developing issues with each other where these issues should never be there. And it's because they've taken themselves far too seriously on Snapchat or Instagram. You know, they're not communicating in a real way. They're communicating just on you know, in the virtual world. So there's no body language in there. There's no realness about it. So it's separating the societies, and you're having all these families starting to have problems with each other that were never there. And they're very, very concerned about their children, how these children are developing social inhibitions and social problems that never, ever existed in their society before this instant communication and texting and all this stuff became popular. You know, so that's what it's for. It removes people's ability to really be able to communicate properly. It puts them in a stage where they're always measuring themselves, and they're always measuring other people. They're always judging themselves by particular standards, which are not real. You know, and you've got to be this. You've got to receive a certain amount of likes, or you've got to be this level on the social food chain, or you're a lesser person. You know, you've got to have this fashion or this accessory or this latest app or this amount of likes or whatever, or you're a lesser person. And it all becomes about look as well. I mean, Instagram and Snapchat and all this sort of stuff, you've got to be the beautiful person who looks the certain way to get the likes. And all of it's fake. Some of these people go, like, I'll spend hours setting up a photograph just to make it look natural when it's not even a natural photograph. So, you know, what's it all for? You know, and all of it just removes people from life. It removes them from the real world, and it puts this emphasis on this virtual world and the gratification of youth and the exaltation of youth as well. It's all about the beautiful people. Once you get to, you know, 25 or 26 or 30, well, you better watch it. You're starting to get wrinkles. You're a lesser person now. You know, so that's a lot of what the concept of the generation gap was promoted for as well, simply to separate kids from their parents. You know, the old fuddy-duddies, and that came in the 60s, all that sort of promotion to start to separate the generations so people wouldn't look at their parents as being anything wise or having anything to offer them. They were just stupid old folks that can't keep up with the technology, you know. Oh, yeah, the old fuddy-duddies, the old wrinkles, the folks, they don't really know what's going on. We know what's going on. The kids are like that, you know, ego, this whole thing of the kids, because the latest tech is what makes you who you are, and the parents, of course, won't understand the tech, so they're not real smart. You know, they haven't got the education we've got, blah, blah, blah. It's all designed to separate the generations. And with our societies as well, we throw our kids out of home as soon as it's financially viable to do so. We don't want them living around home. Get out there and get in the workforce. Get away from me. So there's no love. There's no support. There's no realness in our society at all. And there's no realness for the kids. And they're trained into this very, very early through school and through this whole Snapchat, Instagram world. And it's a shame. But without identifying it, we're not even going to fix it. And we've just got to be able to see where they're being led and figure out a way to, you know, still use this technology, but not be so dependent on it and not be so addicted to it. It's you know, and again, it's the replacement. It's the dopamine. It's the pleasure centers. It's all this sort of stuff. And this ultimately comes down to a loss of love in the family home. A loss of love of the family unit. A breakdown of the family unit. That's the basis of the whole thing. Yeah, you know, when they replaced parents with televisions back in the 1950s, is where it all began. You know, first they got people enslaved to this economic model whereby the parents had to work. Then they made it so that, well, it's a little bit harder, it's got to tighten the belts, need to get both parents working. So it separates the parents from the kids. Then they replace the parents with television, and then they change the education system to lead them into this virtual world, and this is the result.
Humanity is losing what you refer to as life skills. Again, we look at the digital devices. I mean, people used to make fun of me, Max, because they'd be sitting in my old Plymouth Roadrunner, and I just had heaps of maps. I'd open up my glove box, and there'd be nothing but maps in there, and people used to say about me, I'll never get lost because I have all these maps, right? But nowadays, they don't rely on those things, and I only got a mobile phone, a smartphone, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and I didn't know that you could look up, oh, well, we want to go to a Thai restaurant. So, you know, you look it up on the internet, on the phone, and then there's the phone number there, and you tap on the phone number, and you're dialing that place. And then you can set it up so the phone tells you exactly how to get there. See, so right off the bat, people don't know how to get from A to B anymore without this kind of assistance, right? Like before, we had to problem solve. We had to, on a real-world basis, make a lot of problem-solving decisions day by day, and in some cases, depending on one's line of work and what they did, on an hour-by-hour basis, you know, we've gone away from that because of these digital devices. What do we need to do to start getting these life skills back into our quill, so to speak?
Well, start practicing them, you know. See, the key thing with what you say there, what we don't have to do now, we don't have to remember anything, and we don't have to think about anything or know how to do anything, you know. And the fact that we don't have to remember anything, you don't have to remember how to get there, you don't have to remember where you're going, you don't have to actually think about anything. I mean, you could say to someone, I mean, imagine if you were to get arrested right now and you would be taken to the police station, have all your stuff confiscated from you, and you were told you can have your one phone call. Would you even know somebody's phone number to call them? You probably wouldn't, because it's stored in your smartphone. Yes. You don't remember the numbers anymore. Oh, sorry, we can't give you access to your smartphone. If you don't know their number, sorry, you don't get your phone call. You don't have to remember these numbers anymore. You don't have to remember how to do anything anymore. We don't want you to use your brain. We don't want you to use your memory. So you've been taught not to remember. You've been taught not to think about anything. And you're being taught not to know how to do anything. We can do it all for you. So why is this happening? Why are we being led in this direction? Is it for convenience? Or is it so that they can completely limit human cognitive function and then just switch it all off and shut you all out? And then what are you going to do? Think about it.
Yeah, it'll be learned helplessness, because their only default setting would be daddy, big brother, government.
Exactly. How many people even know their own parents' phone number anymore? You know, if you had to ring your husband or your wife or whatever, I mean, do you even know their phone number?
Yes.
You probably don't, because it's stored in your phone.
Point.
You know? Think about that sort of stuff. People need to think about it. They're not remembering anything. They don't remember how to do anything anymore. You know, think about it. You know, kids leaving college and they've got to watch a training instruction. Kids leaving college to go to work in a hardware store, and when they start work, they've got to watch an instruction video on how to operate a tape measure.
Yes.
This is kids that have left college that don't know how to use a tape measure. I mean, come on. This is the most basic of anything. I mean, you know, we don't remember how to do anything, and we've been trained not to remember, trained not to use our brains. That's a very, very scary thing.
You know, the further you go back in time, the more hands-on people were. They built wheels. They built wagons. They built harnesses for domesticated animals. They built dwellings, right? Everything was hands-on. Everything was, it's a matter of life and death. You know, we either do these things. We either, you know, get the crops in. We either build ourselves barns and whatnot, or we don't survive. Or never had the survival instinct also, Max. And that's something that we have to inculcate into them also. You know, a lot of the choices people make today, they can go down a wrong path very quickly in today's age. And these digital devices can do that. Like, for example, I've seen something which is kind of a new phenomenon with the texting age, right? Like in the old days, you talked about people communicating and the concept of nonverbal communication, how important it is. And I've had the opportunity in the past to watch what we call text wars, where this couple is having this problem, you know, they're arguing with each other. And instead of in the old days where they would like give each other some space, kind of calm down a little bit, and then send the other person a card or something to smooth things over. Now they text each other back and forth, and it just escalates all the problems. It's like they start arguing through texting and stuff. So ironically, instead of a communications device to bring them closer, it actually drives them further apart, right? And so you have the spectacle today of a mother sending a text out to her kids to come have dinner in the same house, right? So we really need, as a society, to get back into a hands-on mode. I saw somebody changing a tire the other day, Max, and it's like I did a double take. It's like I hadn't seen something like that in so long, right, that it was like a revelation for me.
Yeah, even with people having to change a tire, very often they'll call someone to come and do it for them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just something they don't know how to do. You know, people have lost the most basic of life skills. It's quite freaky. They don't know how to do anything. They can do, they're very smart with the tech very often. And, you know, even if they do have life skills, it's refined to one particular area. You know, they'll be really good at one particular thing because that's their trade. But they don't know how to do anything else. You know, it's a freaky thing, you know. We've lost so much of our normal abilities. And, you know, the complacency that we're in as well, the fact that we don't know how to survive in the world, especially in the West, you know, because we haven't ever done it hard. Everything's been there for us. Everything's been basically convenience and put there for us. And even if we do it hard in the West, it's not really doing it that hard. Not really. Not compared to, you know, other countries, not compared to living in Africa or living in Rwanda or living in Gaza or living in you know, the jungle or something like that. I mean, there's people that do it a lot tougher, people that have to, you know, fight and claw for every moment of their existence. You know, we have everything laid out easy for us in the West. And so you don't ever have to think about anything. You don't have to worry about the future. Everything's always done for us, you know. You know, we can just dial this or dial that or call this or call that. We don't ever have to actually do anything for ourselves. That's a pretty freaky situation, but that's where we've been led. And this loss of life skills, it's very dangerous. Never before in history have we been in a point, you know, where we've lost all these life skills to this degree. And now we're losing all of our information too. Like libraries are being digitized. Everything's becoming digital. Everything's becoming virtual. And like I said earlier, that all you got to do is turn the power out. Now, what happens to people now, they can't go shopping, they can't do anything, even if there's a blackout, they can't use their credit cards, they can't use a supermarket, they can't put fuel in their car, they can't do anything because of this digital world they're immersed in. You know, only people with cash can operate in that sort of a situation. Now, at least they're still doing something for themselves, even if it's just pulling money out of their wallet and paying for something, they're still at least performing some action for themselves. It's not just a wave of a card or the wave of a hand. You know, it's not just automated. Personally, I don't use anything automated. You know, I don't use automatic checkouts. I don't use automatic telling machines. Anything that's automated, I won't use unless I absolutely have to. You know, I really try to keep the old ways alive. I always shop with cash. I don't own a credit card. I don't use a smartphone. It's very important that people disconnect from that world. You know, the technology that we've got could serve us really well, but we've got to still maintain our connection to the real world. We've still got to maintain our connection to the old ways. If we lose the old ways, then we're in danger. We're being led into a trap. You know, this whole virtual world, why on earth would you want to have no life skills? Why on earth would you want to have everything done for you? Why on earth would you not want to be able to look after yourself, at least have the ability to do that? This is a basic human function, you know, but people can't do it anymore. You know, so we've got to be careful. We've got to look at where we're being led. We've got to identify this problem and start, you know, naming it for what it is and looking at what some of these politicians are doing and some of these laws and things they're bringing in and start questioning them. You know, start taking action against these people for daring to do these things. You know, we've forgotten what our place in society is and what the politicians' place in society is. You know, they've trained us into believing that they're our leaders and our rulers, but they're not. They're our employees that are supposed to be managing infrastructure for us in a responsible way. And they're not doing that. So, you know, getting this mentality into people, getting this way of thinking into people, realizing that we face a myriad of problems, but they can be dealt with if we remember who and what we are, and we start approaching these people in positions of power and holding them accountable for their actions, and we may find a way out of this mess.
I think about how far we've come, you know. The people that have figured this out and have an idea of the importance of being self-sufficient, they're being harassed. People that are in, organic vegetable and fruit co-ops, people that have farmers markets set up and whatnot, people that grow their own vegetables. So you can see that on the one hand, they want to kind of lead everyone over off this digital cliff in inability to take care of themselves and to think for themselves. On the other hand, those people that, from their standpoint, the system standpoint, are dissenters. How dare they? They want to grow their own vegetables and whatnot, and you know they want to be self-sufficient and live off the grid. They're being persecuted. So that should be a clue to people out there that still haven't figured this out, that why is the system against people that don't want to be a part of the system? That should be a red flag. We've reached the end of a fascinating first half. Max, how would our listeners be able to get a hold of you?
You can find everything that I do and everything about me on my website, which is thecrowhouse.com. You'll find links to my YouTube channels and everything. It's all there, thecrowhouse.com.
We've reached the end of the first part of the Cosmic Switchboard Show with our very special guest, Max Egan. If you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next hour. Because this is a frequency war.